Hello, everybody. It's me, Roscoe, and welcome to the latest episode of the Kings of Anglia Track the Girls Talk podcast, the show where we cover all things Ipswich Town women. I'm joined by my co-host, as standard, in Tom Cann. And last time we recorded an episode, there's been three games. So we've got a three-game week to discuss, a draw and a feat in a cup, but a big historic win on the weekend against Portsmouth. The men got a win against Pompey, and the women's team have done the same. So we've got a lot of things to talk about. But Tom, first of all, how are you?
I'm very well. Very well, thank you. Happy that it's back, and to have a three-game week has been a big change. I'm all good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, my friend. Yeah, it's been a lot of games, a lot of things to cover, but we prefer when there's loads of games. Although in the women's calendar, three game weeks are very rare. In the men's fixtures, that happens most months. Three games to cover, two in the league, one in the cup. We're going to cover Portsmouth as the main game in this podcast, but we are, of course, got to mention the Charlton game, Tom, because that was a historic point away at the Valley, a goalless draw against the Attics, who are a pretty good team in this division, a solid, established WSL2 side. Overall thoughts on that one? Because a clean sheet, which is great, but also the first point.
Yeah, they worked really hard for the point. I think they went into the game, Charlton were top and Ipswich were bottom, but I think if you watched it, you wouldn't have thought that. I think Ipswich matched them really well and actually had a few chances to take the lead. And as you say, it was their first point in this division. Good to get on the board and keep a clean sheet as well, which I'm sure will have done the defence and Natalia Negri the world of good. And Ipswich are the only team so far to take points from Charlton. They've won their three other games. So they're a really good side. So I definitely think that Joe Sheehan and his side can be really, really proud with that.
Yeah, very much so. And as I said, they're an established side in this division. So getting a point away from home is incredible. And you sort of jokingly sort of say if you get a point away from home, you just I wouldn't have left the bus, as Mick McCarthy used to say. Really good point, and it's a good challenge for Joe Sheehan's side, which took him into a three-game week because they knew it was going to be a busy week. Thankfully, the other two games are at home, but they go all the way to the Valley, stadium game, which just brings it extra, doesn't it? Which is really good. But any other business from that game, Tom? Anything else stands out, changes-wise and stuff like that? It was Joe made a few changes.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I can't remember too far back because we have had two games since then. And there has been a lot of changes in the teams for those two games. But I think the notable absences was Kyra Robertson and Lucy O'Brien, who had both started the previous two games. They were both out injured. And Joe having to test the makeshift midfield, which has now played together twice in the league. We'll come on to them against Portsmouth in a bit, but Bethan Rowe and Leah Mitchell, two fullbacks having to play in midfield, and they do not look out of place at all in centre mid. So he had to do that. He had to make those changes, but they really stepped up and did a really good job in the midfield.
Yeah, and obviously Bethan Rowe, formerly of Charlton Athletic as well, so going up against a former teammates and team, and she's been pretty solid, and she actually got player of the match for the Portsmouth game, which we'll get onto very shortly. But we'll segue quickly now onto Leicester, who are a WSL side in the Subway League Cup, the first time we ever played in that competition, back at Colchester. A 5-1 defeat for Joe Sheehan's side. But Tom, they took the lead, but also there was a lot of changes in this game. And there was a young midfielder who impressed, which we'll have a little segment on her very shortly. But let's just talk about the game as a whole. Ruby Seabee scored the goal, starting in this game as well. Scored the first goal of the season for the Track the Girls to make it 1-0. But then, unfortunately, Leicester got back and went on to score five goals. But overview of the game.
Yeah, I mean, it was the differences between first half and second half was clear as day. I thought they played really well in the first half. You know, the goal that Ruby Seabee scored, that was brilliantly worked. I can't quite remember. I think it might have been Jenna Deer who volleyed the ball over the defence, and you know, Ruby ran onto it and finished really calmly into the bottom right corner from you know, one on one from a fair distance out. I can't remember how far, but yeah, it was really good. And obviously they tried to hold their own. I think they scored in the 39th minute or something like that, and then unfortunately they couldn't see out the first half, which would have done them the world of good to go in 1-0 up. But yeah, they conceded just before the break, and going in 1-1, you know, Ipswich had matched a WSL side. You know, I know that they're struggling a little bit, but they are still an established top-tier team. And then, unfortunately, I think it was a minute into the second half, Leicester took the lead, and it sort of just snowballed from there, really. But, I mean, there were lots of positives to take from it. And again, it was a really good test. Never played in this division before, and they don't often come up against Women's Super League sides. So it was a good test to see how they're faring. And as I say, they you know, matched them in the first half really comfortably, I thought.
Yeah, very much so. And yeah, obviously a lot of young players starting this game. Obviously, Medu Earl was on the left, who, you know, which is on loan from Arsenal and was another standout in this game. But KCJ Bonwick was a little midfield. What nickname should we give her? Because she's very small, but she just battles and really goes for it. So, and she really stood out in this game, my friend.
Yeah. I don't know how tall she is, but she just throws herself into every tackle going. I thought she was brilliant. Really, really good against Leicester. Again, a WSL side who have an awful lot of physicality and experience in their teams, and they come up against an 18-year-old who only signed her first professional contract in the summer, played 1-2 games last season from the bench, scored a brilliant goal against Cheltenham on her debut. But yeah, she started in the midfield, and honestly, she looked like she had been playing there all season so far, and you know, just knew what to do. Really confident on the ball, got stuck into every tackle. You know, she was the standout young player, but there were so many on that pitch that were having a great game. Maddie Earl was really good down that left winger. Joe Sheehan said yesterday after the Portsmouth game that she would have started yesterday as well, had it not been for illness overnight. Ruby Seabee obviously scored. She's also only 18. So, yeah, a lot of young talent on display, which is really good for the future. You know, keep bringing through these young players. Obviously, Leah Mitchell came through. She's still very young, doing really well. Megan Waring's another one. Summer Hughes also had a really good game. And now you've got KCJ Bonwick as well. So, yeah, this youth talent at Ipswich Town Women just seems to keep, every year they just bring out one or two little starlets. So I'm sure we'll see much more of Bonwick in the future, as we will the other players, certainly making appearances throughout the season. But yeah, really, really impressive.
Yeah, very much and so indeed. And yeah, I remember when she was part of the new intake, you know, this is years ago now, I think it's 3 or 4 years ago. And I remember sort of asking Joe, you know, who's sort of the ones to look out for. And I remember him saying, Katie, you know, and she got an injury, unfortunately, and she was out for, you know, for a period. But yeah, the last year she sort of broke into the team, which has been great to see. And yeah, let's see what else is in store for her. But still young, you know, but great to see her make an impact in that game. But now, the main event for this podcast is the Portsmouth game, Tom, because, yeah, historic first win for the Tractor Girls. We're going to hear from Joe Sheehan, first of all, before we break it down, talk about the big talking points in the game, because there was a few. But let's hear from the gaffer, Joe Sheehan, on the win. Let's see what he had to say.
Joe, that was an intense Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, you described that very well.
It's always going to be that, I think. Two teams down the lower end of the table, only a few games in. We're obviously looking for our first win of the campaign. They picked theirs up last week. They've always been a tough team to play against. You know, they create a lot of chaos, direct team, good in transition. Got some really good players that can cause some problems. So, yeah, it was an exciting affair. One that I'm just so pleased to come out on top of.
Yeah, how important is it to come away with 3 points in a game like that where, you know, there was so much character from your team's display? They really dug in and really, really ground out that result.
Yeah, a lot of character because, I think we said to the group, I think to get your first in most things is always the most difficult thing to do. So to get our first win, in the circumstances, you know, we had a small squad last week at Charlton and battled through, showed terrific character. Obviously played midweek, which wasn't ideal, but got some good outcomes on that. And yeah, we actually lost Maddie O overnight to illness, which was a shame because she would have started today and she's been great. So we've had to rejig a couple of things around at real late notice as well. So for us to consider all of those things and to even to go behind and come back to win for our first win of the season is terrific.
There we go, Joe Sheehan, Mitchell's Town Manager. Shout out to Connor Bennett from the BBC, who sort of leads the interview when we chat to Joe. Basically takes all of Tom's questions. But Connor Bennett's the voice asking Joe Sheehan questions there. Tom, one thing actually before we get into Portsmouth game, I've just remembered, we've got to give a shout out to two returning players from injury. Obviously, Charlotte Fleming is the big one who... It's been out for pretty much a year with her second ACL injury of her career. She came off the bench against Leicester. And also Shauna Guyot, who's also been out injured, I think, for about 6 months. So that's another big boost for Joe in terms of options. But two players, you know, it's always, you know, not good to see players out injured. But yeah, great to see them back.
Yeah, yeah, really good to see them back. As you say, it has been nearly a year since Charlotte Fleming last played for Ipswich. I think it was hashtag in October, November time last year. Really, really good that she's back. She's worked really hard to get herself back and you know, ready to be playing. She also came on against Portsmouth for the final few minutes, which is really good, in an intense game like that. And Shauna Guyot as well has obviously been out for 4 or 5 months herself. And obviously she played some minutes against Leicester as well. So it's just really important to get some minutes into those players. And I'm sure that they've been raring to get back out there pretty much as soon as their injury happened. So I'm sure both of them are delighted that, they're moments away from you know, potentially making starts and helping the team out.
Yeah, it's good competition for the squad and, yeah, definitely midfield with Charlotte Fleming, and you've got the, you know, loads of players trying to get in that position, especially with players who are not actually naturally centre midfielders in terms of Liam Mitchell and Bethan Rowe, as you mentioned earlier. And they obviously started in this game, Tom. And Portsmouth are a team we know very much about. They've made obviously a lot of new signings since they've got up to the second tier, but we battled in the third tier. And it was a feisty game, very big battle. Portsmouth always want to make sure cause a chaos and everything like that. It was a bit of a stop-start first game, first sort of couple of minutes, because there was an injury for Portsmouth. Their forward came off. How do you sort of reflect on that opening sort of 10 minutes?
Hectic. The ball was very rarely being passed around sideways. It was... it was like watching a basketball match at times. Just one team was attacking, the other team defending, and then vice versa. It was fast. It was hectic. Both teams obviously wanted to get off to a really good start and try and get a goal early doors. They were cancelling each other out really well. Obviously, the stopping and starting didn't help. It happened a fair amount in that first 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes. It didn't really, you know, stop throughout the entire game, if I'm honest, but in the first 15 minutes when, you know, you want the game to flow, it wasn't really flowing. But Ipswich, I think, were the better side. They were creating the better of the chances. And Sophie Peskett, who will come on too, because she had a fantastic game. She'll, you know, she got on the ball an awful lot more and you know, ran at her markers. She wasn't playing in you know, her favoured position on the right wing. She was moved out to the left. And her and Summer Hughes did really well up against Izzy Collins, whose name sticks in my head for the bad reasons. But yeah, a hectic start, and thankfully Ipswich were the team that took the lead.
Yeah, very much so. And you know, when a team are dominating is when I look at my pictures and know I've got a lot of Ipswich attack. That's why I know, you know, the Town team are on top, because I've got so many, you know, pictures of certain players. It was Ruby Seabee. I was on the right hand side of the goal, so I got a lot of Ruby Seabee when she had the ball. But yeah, that Town dominance, Tom, was what Town needed, because they went on to take the lead. And I think the 22nd minute and a first goal for Rihanna Dean, who, when I look actually her career stats, she's pretty prolific. She's got a good goal ratio, but it's good for her to get off the mark in an Ipswich Town shirt with a header.
Yeah, definitely. I think in previous games she's looked a little bit like she's just, you know, chasing after the ball, which is expected because you're coming up against teams that are, you know, dominating Ipswich. So she was obviously, you know, tasked with pressing their defence, and that's predominantly been her role since the season started. But in this game, she you know, you saw a lot more of her getting on the ball and bringing others into play. They worked it really well, the first goal. I think she was involved in the build-up as well. Her, Summer Hughes and Sophie Peskett were, you know, playing the ball around really nicely in little triangles between themselves. And then obviously it goes out to Peskett, who's got a lot of space. You know that she's going to try and cut in on her right and deliver a ball in or have a shot. She delivered a ball in, and it was perfectly weighted for Rihanna Dean to flick on and direct it into the far corner. And I'm sure that she loved it as well. Former Southampton striker. So I'm sure not only was it great for her to get off to, you know, get her season off with a goal, but to score against Portsmouth, I'm sure she really enjoyed that.
Yeah, very much so. Although one negative from that goal was her celebration. She sort of celebrated the wrong way in a way. Like, you know, it's got a nice sort of celebration, but she was facing the wrong way for us photographers. But no, good to see her off the mark. And another thing that's sort of takeaway from her as a player, I don't know if you've noticed that she's got a bigger shirt than what it needs to be, if you know what I mean. It's like really long on her. I don't know if she prefers that. That's a question we can ask her if we get an opportunity to speak to her. Because every time I look at her pictures and look at Rihanna Dean, her shirt is like just too big. But some players are like that. It's like Jack Clark with the men's team. He's got massive shorts, bigger than what he needs to. So that's just my one takeaway about Rihanna Dean. But yeah, great to see her off the mark. But then Portsmouth got back in the game and they were showing signs, weren't they, Tom, where they were like, you know, or any team, when you go one behind, you sort of want to get back in the game. And they were showing signs. And annoyingly, they scored just before half-time, which is never a good time to concede. And they did equalise, my friend.
Yeah. I mean, it was an inspired change from their manager to bring on Angelina Nixon, because as soon as she came on, she was on the ball. She, you know, just pretty much she just wanted to shoot. And she did give a little warning shot 2 minutes before she actually scored, where she shot from range, and I think it flew just over the bar. But that would have been a spectacular goal. And then 2 minutes later, she cuts inside and does the exact same thing, but this time manages to get it under the bar. And it is a great finish. It's right in the top corner. But yeah, you don't want to be conceding just before half time. I think it was probably something like the 48th minute. With 5 minutes added on in that first half due to, you know, all the stoppages and injuries and things like that. So, yeah, a tough time for them to score. I'm sure it changed what Joe was going to say at halftime. Yep. But, yeah, you don't want to go in to the break 1-1, but a really good goal.
Yeah, it was an interesting sub, but from what I was looking at, the player was like she was limping. So maybe it was an injury, but yeah, two subs from Portsmouth in that first half. So I'm sure that changed a lot of things for their team talk at the start of the game. But yeah, 1-1 half time. Then second half, Tom, which was just crazy. A lot of things happened. I felt the first 10 minutes. I actually did a different thing this time around. If there's a few people who are listening and were watching me, I actually stayed at Portsmouth Attack, which is controversial as an Ipswich Town photographer. But I wanted to get some pictures of Nat Negri in goal and some of the defenders because when you're other under the pitch, you don't get a really good up-close picture of a goalkeeper. So for the first 10 minutes, that was what I was planning to do. In the end, I stayed there until Paige Peake's penalty because there were just so much things going on. But yeah, anything. Enough about me, Tom. But yeah, there's a lot of controversial stuff happening because the ref lost his mind. Where do you want to start? The first sort of talking point from him, because obviously a lot of yellow cards, especially in that first half. So that he started in the first half, but the second half, dear me.
Yeah. Controversial, I'll say that. It was 5 minutes of just no one really understood what was going on. It started when the ball was high in the air and Peskett was going to go for a header. And two Portsmouth players who weren't going for the ball basically just decided to sandwich her. So Peskett fell down on the floor right in front of Joe. Ipswich Town staff absolutely up in arms. It should have been a foul, clear as day. I've seen it back. I don't know how it wasn't. That then led to one of their players taking the ball on the left wing and Maria Boswell coming in, absolutely wiping out one of their players. Very fair foul. Well, it was a foul, not a fair foul. She got a yellow card, like rightly so, but they shouldn't have had that opportunity. It should have been an Ipswich free kick. And this happened, what, like half a minute before? And then obviously they get that free kick, in swing it. I think someone mentioned, I think it might have been Joe, mentioned that there was a foul in the area. I can't remember that, but obviously the ball then goes out to one of their players who smashes it in. It was a great goal. Nothing really, you know, Negri could do about it, but it that shouldn't have happened. And then straight from the kickoff, Ipswich pump it long. Jenna Deer gets ahead on it. Plays it out to Peskett, who's in so much space, runs down the right wing, crosses the ball in, but at the same time as she's crossing it, gets absolutely wiped out by a terrible tackle from Collins, which is one of the reasons she sticks in my head. It lands at Natasha Thomas, who then heads the ball in the back of the net, and the referee blows his whistle just as that happens. In the ground, it sounds like the whistle goes just as Tash heads it. I've watched it back. The whistle actually goes when the ball hits the back of the net. So the ball had crossed the line by the time the referee had blew his whistle. So he did make the right decision, but he caused absolute mayhem, confusion, anger, because Ipswich staff were up in arms that they've just scored, but the referee had blown up. Didn't play the advantage for some reason. And then you've got the Portsmouth staff who are absolutely raging because the referee had blown his whistle apparently before the ball had gone in the back of the net. He then gives the goal, even though he's blown his whistle, which I think the Portsmouth players are claiming that, you know, they heard the whistle, they stopped playing. That, I think, is absolute rubbish because I have seen it back. The goalkeeper makes an attempt to save it. One of their defenders jumps to try and head the ball away, doesn't reach it. So they definitely didn't stop playing. But it just caused so much confusion between everybody. Lauren Phillips, the assistant manager for Ipswich, she gets a yellow card. Portsmouth manager gets a yellow card. Bizarrely, I don't think Collins gets a yellow card, which I don't understand because it was an awful tackle. I don't know how she stayed on the pitch, if I'm honest, because she also gave away the penalty by just clattering Peskett. That's also a yellow card. So she should have really had two or three yellow cards in that game and somehow managed to see the game out. But yeah, absolute madness. No one quite knew what was going on, but it's a good thing that he gave the goal, because I think Ipswich would have been really, really aggrieved if it had been ruled out, because it was a fantastic cross, really good header from Tash. It's her first goal at this level as well, which is really great for her to get off, get that first goal. It was just absolute madness. We were all so confused in the press area. We had a couple of Portsmouth staff sitting, just to the side of us, and they were really confused. We were all confused. It was 5 minutes of just absolute madness. And then that obviously heightens everyone's emotions quite a bit. Portsmouth players feel aggrieved. Ipswich players feel like they can go on and win it. Portsmouth staff feel angry. Ipswich staff probably felt a little bit angry as well, because it was an awful challenge. It was just madness.
Yeah, that 5 minute, 10 minute period was crazy, as you mentioned. You know, Portsmouth go and score, then we equalise straight away. I hadn't really got myself prepared for Ipswich Town to equalise so quickly, because I was just sort of getting, just at this point, our town just conceded. As I said, I was in a different position to what I normally am, so I was not in a good view for it. So I didn't really know what was going on really until it was after the game, where I obviously caught up with you and sort of got a bit more insight on it. But yeah. Incredible stuff. Tash will be happy though, because she's got the goal. She would have been the most annoyed when they're on the pitch, because she's now scored the fourth tier, the third tier, now the second tier of women's football for Ipswich Town Women. So great to see. Tom, we're going to hear from Joe now on the ref and just all the incidents, because he was asked that question. Let's see what he had to say about it.
Yeah, it gets a bit spicy, doesn't it, in games. Both teams desperately trying to outfight one another, and I think we didn't start both halves particularly great, had some reasonably good moments. I think that the lead up to their second goal, I was disappointed with, because I thought it was a real clear and obvious foul on Sophie Pesquet in the box that resulted in the equaliser. We've obviously had our own moment at the other end, that Portsmouth would argue a little bit of controversy around the cross. But again, a terrible foul on her from the left back in the lead up to Tash's header, and an awful foul that on her again for the penalty. So I guess the game was full of controversy in different moments from different things that went on. But I think the important part is how you respond to those, and that's key. And that's where I think the game was probably won today, by how we responded to the controversial moments that we would argue should have gone in our favour, better than Portsmouth responding to the controversial moments that they felt went against them.
That's a good point, Tom, as I unmute my mic. Amateur hour from me. What Joe said, how they responded at Ipswich Town, because, it was getting very feisty, and we got that equaliser, and the game was sort of open now for one team to get the win. It was Ipswich Town that got a penalty. And that's when you may have seen me, if you were in that sort of area where the fans were, just me like quickly rushing to get to that end of the pitch, because obviously I needed to get the Paige Peake penalty either way. But she obviously, stepped up and, as she normally does, buries it to make it 3-2, my friend.
Yeah, she's taken a couple of set pieces so far this season that probably haven't gone where she'd liked. But now a former Southampton player wanted to step up and take this one as well. So two former Southampton players score against Portsmouth, which I'm sure the Saints fans will enjoy as well. Steps up, and, we spoke after the game. She practices penalties in training. She picks her spot, and as long as she hits with conviction, she said that she's pretty sure that it will end up in the back of the net. Obviously, the goalkeeper goes the wrong way, it was a really confident penalty. Just sort of strokes the ball into the bottom left corner. if you're the goalkeeper, bottom right, if you're looking at it. And yeah, her celebration, I think you could tell just how much it meant to her to score such an important goal at such a vital time for the team. It was a real outburst of joy after she scored that penalty. All the Ipswich players obviously ran to her and were overjoyed by it. So yeah, really confident. Good for her to get that off the mark as well. Hopefully you'll give her a bit more confidence going forward. And yeah, I think it was Ipswich deserved it. I thought they were the better side. Portsmouth did, they did try and push for an equaliser. Ella Rutherford, formerly of this parish, came on, took aim from the edge of the area, and Negri tipped the ball onto the crossbar. So that was a little bit close for call. But they saw the game out really well. And yeah, they did deserve the 3 points.
Yeah, because that's the worry. It's like, yeah, we'll take the lead now. There's still about 10 minutes left to play, and just anything can happen in a game that was just pure chaos. But no, they saw it out, and their first ever win, Tom, at this level, WSL 2, big 3 points, now 4 points on the board. Just relief for the team as well to get that first win under their belts.
Yeah, I mean, the celebrations at full time told the story. I don't think I've seen Joe Sheehan quite as overjoyed as that after a result. The closest that I've probably seen him was MK Dons last season when promotion was pretty much confirmed. You know, he was really happy then, but the relief and the outpouring of of just delight and pride at that full-time whistle. The club put something out about it, and, you know, you can tell just how much it meant to him. He's won games now at Tier 4, Tier 3, Tier 2. Players like Natasha Thomas, who have been here throughout, Kyra Robertson, Maria Boswell, players that have been here for, you know, a few years, they were all so happy and rightly so. It's a big step. And as Paige Peak said after the game, the first win is always the hardest, getting that first one. And once you do that, the pressure is lifted a little bit. You've got to improve from that, but it takes that weight off that, you know, you're still waiting for those first 3 points. Moves them out of, you know, the relegation zone, off the bottom. And, you know, they're now 10th. I think they're drawing on points with Newcastle and another team that I can't remember who. But, yeah, really good to get that first win. Obviously, all the players were really happy with it. I know that they stayed behind for a long time and signed autographs and took pictures with fans, which was nice to see again. It's nice that that's stayed from Felixstowe days, that fans are able to do that and the players are still, still happy to do that. So, yeah, really good. Important to get that win, and really good to do it at home as well.
Yeah, very much so. The first win in Colchester. So that's what you just need. You need to get that first win on the board. And we're now ticking off different milestones this year. You know, first point, first clean sheet, first goal, and now first win, which is very nice indeed. First back-to-back wins potentially coming up. We shall see. Sheffield United up next, away from home. The same day as the East Anglian derby for the men as they take on Norwich. So hopefully a double weekend of wins for town. But yeah, any other sort of talking points from the game? I think we've got to shout out Sophie Pescott, as we've done many times on podcasts. But she's stepping up to WSL2 pretty easily. In the third tier, she was a cheat code pretty much. But the OSL2, she's had some tough games to start the season, but this one really showed what she can do, and she's got some assists to her name.
Yeah, got a couple of assists and obviously won the penalty as well. So, she had a really good game. I think everyone knows what she's capable of, as you say. And in tier three, it was like, watching Ronaldinho against Sunday League team. Obviously a little bit harder this step up. She maybe didn't get on the ball quite as much as she liked in those first few games. But you saw it like second half against Southampton on the first day. She got on the ball more and, you know, she started to make things happen. In this game, she was on the ball throughout. And I'm going to say her name again. Collins just could not deal with her, hence why she took her out two times. She was just struggling to keep up with her, you know, her pace, her skill. So I'm sure she's raring to get her first goal at this level as well, because she's, you know, she's scored so many for the last couple of seasons. She'll be wanting to get that first goal, but she's contributing so much to the team. And yeah, she had a really good game. I think Bethan Rowe, who was named player of the match, also had a really good game. Her and Leah Mitchell are forming a really good partnership in midfield. While they've got some injuries, you know, Kyra is coming back from a little niggle and an illness, Joe said, and Ruby Doe's out, Sophie Bajent's out. Charlotte Fleming's obviously come back from an ACL injury. It's good that they've got those two fullbacks that are able to step up and do a really good job in midfield. So I want to also shout out Jenna Deere. I think she's been really good this last week in the few games that she's played. You can see that experience that she's got. She sort of knows where players are. She's confident on the ball. She plays it around really well. Really important to that front line, I think. You know, she was the one that set up Peskett, I think, for both crosses. It might have been Summer Hughes for the first one, but she was involved either way. She was also involved in playing the ball off to Sophie Peskett, who won the penalty. So she was involved in that. So things are really starting to click now in all areas of the pitch, and you know, they've done it with a multitude of injuries, unfortunately, all in one area, but they're really clicking as a team, and it's definitely only the start. I expect an awful lot more to come.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, I want to give a shout out to Jenna Deere, because some of the touches she had in this game was incredible, and some flicks here and there. She also score, but she was offside, very offside. So, really showing her quality, and it's just great to see. And obviously, Joe knew he had to make some signings who can play at this level, and they're showing, you know, why they are at this level. So great, just shout out to the whole team. You know, just great to see, as you said, the celebrations at the end. It was nice to see Tash sort of leading that celebrations as well, as one of the players who's been here for so long. And shout out to the fans as well, who you know, deserved that win, to see their first ever WSL2 wins. It was another decent crowd at Colchester. So we've got two big games coming up, as I mentioned, Sheffield United, I'm away at Bramall Lane, and then Birmingham City, Tom, come to Colchester a week later, who are currently top of the table. So that will be a tough game. Two different games. One's a six-pointer with Sheffield United, who are currently rock bottom, and they take on, as I said, a Birmingham team who are top of the table.
Yeah. It's a shame that both the Sheffield United and the Norwich game are on the same day at pretty much the same time. I think it would have been nice if one of them was able to move, just so that people would be able to watch it, but or watch both. Sheffield United, they won't be easy. They're a, you know, WSL team for WSL2 team for a reason. They should have been relegated last season, but that's a different season. They made signings this year, and they'll be wanting to do a better job than they did last year. So it'll be a tough challenge. They're going away, and I don't know what sort of crowds they get up at Bramall Lane, but it will be a really difficult challenge. But the Birmingham game will be incredibly hard. They were, you know, just points away from promotion last season, pipped to it by London City Lionesses on the last day. Don't know whether they'll be top by the time they play Ipswich, but as you said, they are currently top and have done a really good job. I think they've won three games and drawn one so far this season. But Ipswich have got that first home win. You know, they'll be welcome in Birmingham. I'm sure it will be a really big crowd again. It's the international break as well, I believe, for the men. So get down to the JobServe Community Stadium and support them, because honestly, the atmosphere on Sunday against Portsmouth was the loudest it's been for a long time. I can't even remember last season, you know, in amongst all the jubilation and things, it being that loud. I know that there was a lot of circumstances and, you know, caveats and things like that that probably meant that emotions were heightened from the town fans, but they were really, really good. And I'm sure they'll back the team again against Birmingham and help help them as much as they can to get, you know, a point or 3 points against a team that will be up there at the end of the season, because I have no doubt that they'll really, really try and push for WSL football, especially with there being potentially three spots up for grabs from this league.
Yeah, definitely, my friend. Yeah, big shout out to Megan Waring's dad, Andrew, who is the drummer leading the chants. But also a big shout out to the supporters group who do some great stuff and do a lot of promotion for the games. But yeah, Tom, another Track the Goals Talk podcast in the books. Any other business, anything else you want to sort of shout out? Yeah, it's now three game week done and dusted for the season, I think. So now it is just going to be Sundays. Looking forward to.
Yeah, no other business from me. It's a different test for them having a three-game week. They obviously won't be used to it. I think their next Tuesday or Wednesday night game is also in the Subway League Cup, but thankfully they haven't got a Sunday game after it. I think there's a little bit of a break after the Crystal Palace away game in the Cup. So, yeah, a tough challenge, but they've come out of it really well. I think 4 points from the Subway League Cup, you don't win points, but I think four points. In the Cup you do. Yeah, sort of. But still, 4 points from, if Leicester were in the same league, a possible nine isn't a bad return at all. And they're unbeaten in two league games, which is really good.
Yeah, very much so indeed. So, yeah, a good three-game week for the Track the Girls, despite the defeat in the Cup, but it doesn't matter because it's all about WSL2 action. And we'll be back to bring you reflections on the two games against Sheffield United and Birmingham. But I hope you've enjoyed listening to another Track the Girls Talk podcast. Kings of Anglia, of course, sponsored by, I can now just about say this, sponsor, Stardust Spirits, of course. Use the code KOA to get 20% off. Some great spirits there. But the next sponsor, Molekula. Look at that now. They're great sponsors as well. Your cleaning products and stuff. Two local Suffolk businesses. Check them out. Supporting the podcast. And yeah, thanks again for listening. And we'll see you next time for Track the Girls Talk. Bye-bye for now.